The place changes and goes, like a wind like clouds. Like the traces of the heart, no halt at the places. The places so far away, be far apart. People's hand does not reach, so merely has the worship. We are Kazamatsuri, a community for key fans, and this is the Tomoyo episode of the Clannad Book Club podcast.
Bravo, Aspie. That was some introduction. Bravo.
No, I'm mad. Okay. You know, he just started by reading the lyrics to Anna, which is terrible in English and just so bad, and they decided to put that song at the end of this route when I was, like, in the middle of crying, and it ruined everything. I literally just, like, stopped and just, like, instantly, like, what? It just ruined it. It's done.
This would be the main complaint about the route. The lyrics at the end, they ruin everything.
This isn't quite a torch moment, but it's similar.
And it's like, okay, everybody usually says, like, oh, it's not bad if we you know, don't think about the lyrics. But, you know, once you've first thought about the lyrics, it's just ruined forever. It's just, I'm sorry. It just killed it for me, man. But I still gave the root of 5, so whatever.
Joining us this week, of course, we have our regular cast of myself, Aspiety, Biscuito, and Pepe. But we also have a guest joining us. Finally,
we have
Days of Summer. Hey man, how's it going?
It's going great. I'm pretty stressed out about this, but I'm pretty excited. Very honored to be on here.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Days.
So, Days of Summer, I'm 18, French, I come from a small town near Paris, and I've been a fan of Key for a few years now, and my favorite Key series is Little Buster as well. Very original. I guess this is it. 30 seconds, maybe even less. Good on time.
Yep, let's start with your 30-second recap. Let's go. In this route, Tomoe displays his seducer skills when he makes Tsunahara look like a complete idiot to make himself look goodly in front of the student council president. As rumors about her once being a monster hungry for the flesh of bad guys, Tomoe tries to save his reputation between nightmares of dying every day before lunch. She finally becomes student council president, and Tomoe finally realizes that the fear of being punished to death for lewdness every day is too much and that it should go their separate ways. However, in a twist of fate, they both accept that strangulation play is okay and head on to a bright future together.
I don't even know if that was 30 or not, but I didn't check.
I almost ran out of breath.
Yeah.
Days of script is so long.
It was on time.
Okay, and that is the Tomoyo route. So, what did you guys rate this route? Let's start with that.
All right. Numerically, you mean? Rate it 7 out of 10.
We have a rating thing on the forum, you know.
Did you use that?
We're out of five. You mean?
Out of five.
Yeah, I'd give it 4 out of 5.
Okay. And why'd you rate it that?
Yeah.
Because I found it had interesting themes and subjects, but at the same time, I felt the drama, you know, kept me waiting for a long time, and it really only peaked at the end. So that's kind of the flaw I found within it. And
yeah,
see that.
Why? I'm in a similar boat. I rated it a 4 out of 5 because, like, the climax and, like, the themes and stuff were excellent. But it felt like it dragged on too long with my liking.
Yeah. Especially, you know, at some point she reveals her background story.
Mm.
And like at that point I really wanted things to get intense and they just went back to banter.
It definitely just kind of rides along.
And that was disappointing.
It's not, I always said that this route is like not, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not typical, I guess. It's very different. It's a very different route. Like,
yeah, it is. That's true.
Unlike normal, whenever the route kind of... I mean, I understand that a lot of common is this route, so that's kind of melded in there. But the actual thick of the route starts when they're already in a relationship, right? And then the actual meat of the route is their separation.
Yeah.
And that's, like, completely different from... Mm. Almost
yes.
any other route I can think of. It's really interesting.
That's true.
Most other routes have the climax with them getting together.
Yeah. That's true.
It's there it shouldn't be limited to that kind of thing. I think Clannad also beats that.
That's not just Key. That's like Bishojuge in general is that the aim is to get the girl. And there's so few stories that like focus on the actual relationship and the struggles that come with it. I can really respect Tomoya's route for that.
Yes.
It's interesting because like a lot of the route, I mean, such a big portion of the route is a relationship and it has a lot to do with what's going on. But as far as the actual themes are concerned, it really isn't the focus, and at least it doesn't feel like that. Even though it's so important, I feel like a lot of the messages and things that are thrown into the route don't actually lead to that specifically. It's a little bit more broad than that. Very interesting.
Oh, well. I still think the relationship is it's not so much about relationships, but it is because the relationships are so important. I think you're looking at it the wrong way.
It's more like the relationship. It's like the relationship is a mechanic of the route, but it's not like, it's like a weird kind of variable, like in the writing, but it isn't the goal really.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But I think I agree with Biz here. I think they really use the relationship to convey the themes in maybe in a stronger way, but you could take them separately from the relationship. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's not like it's about their relationship or, you know, there's something broader here than just being with the girl or...
It's almost like how a relationship operates in the broader context of society.
We had said in the previous route about how, like, for Masai, that while... Pepe, you actually said this, and it was really, really good, is that you said family is a lot of Clannad, right? But Clannad is about life. For the Tomoya route, I feel like it's about responsibilities, and relationships are a big responsibility, in a way. Like... and being able to handle yourself in that way.
It's conflict of responsibilities, almost. I don't know.
It's
like,
definitely.
Thinking about this route for the past, like, week is just... The more I think about it, the more confused I end up making myself, because it's really complex.
It is very complex. Like, there's no, like,
it's
straight
a very,
angle.
It has a very mature theme, I think, is what I want to say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in terms of my rating is I also gave it a 4, and I'm gonna bring this up and people are probably gonna hate me for it, but the minor thing I had is that I didn't see much character development. I consider that a minor thing because that isn't the point of the route. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were a lot of people in the forum complaining that there wasn't enough character development. And it just... Tomoya just kind of stagnates in this route, and that's what causes the conflict.
Did nobody else like the development? I mean, I guess I've already said, you know, I gave it 5. Did nobody like the development of Tomoya here? Like, Tomoya starts out flat out caring about, you know, what's going on with this voting process. And he says to himself, you know, oh, I hope she loses. That would be really nice for me and stuff like that. Like, he's thinking about all these things. But in the end, he votes
for
her.
Right.
They even made a very important scene of him voting for her.
That's the thing, because when they break up, he just goes back to that kind of state. So it's not a development in his personality, it's really more a development in his situation, because he wants to support Tomoya.
Really change. A lot of this route doesn't really have the characters changing themselves until the actual end.
That's why. I consider it a minor thing. I don't consider it like a requirement of
the route. It's like mellow development, right? Like, they just kind of... Things are just kind of changing based on the situation, and they're kind of living day to day. And at the end, they start realizing that they've spent so much of this time kind of trying to figure out what they're doing to finally come to an end.
I like how they can bear through one another. That's kind of the thing.
Takafumi had like a very pessimistic post on the forum about like, they're just pathetic teenagers. They're not meant to change. It's not in their character. And there's no force to cause them to change. They're just like, you know, it's believable.
Yeah.
There's no miracle that's going to happen to save them, basically. Which is, a very pessimistic thing, but I agree with
him. It fits into the whole fact about how the relationship isn't actually that much of a major focus, you know, the relationship specifically, because really it's just kind of a tool to really net the subject matter in, like, a realistic setting.
and it makes it more believable.
But I don't think it's fair to say. It's not fair to say that Tomoe didn't develop at all, because there's a pivotal point in the route where you have to decide, you know, am I going to continue living my life, like, selfishly, or am I going to do what's best, what I believe is best for Tomoe? I feel like being able to, like, put his own needs second is a very defining point where you can see that Tomoe isn't the same person he was at the start of the game.
I accept that.
Yeah. So it's not like there's no development, it's just a lot more subtle than in other
It's not major development. I guess. It's Clannad, like, is definitely known for a lot of major developments across its characters.
That's exactly why. That's exactly why it's kind of feels out of place, I don't know. But, like I said, again, it's a minor point.
I think it's a good one, though. But, I mean, I kind of see it as something that's beneficial. That's just me, though. Because of it being kind of a specific moment in life. Because, you know, people don't really develop that much in life in such a short period of time. Not regularly, anyways. We kind of develop over our years. We have pivotal years going through high school stuff like that. And that was something that happened in Messiah, right? Where you actually had two different time periods to look at, so you could actually see the development much more clearly. So it's a bit more realistic in the sense. And that, I guess, comes off as kind of boring to a lot of people. But I think it's cool. I felt differently about their interactions at the end than I had definitely felt at the beginning.
So I guess, like, a main theme that's come up in this route is the idea of, like, putting your own happiness versus success, or vice versa. Like, success versus happiness. And also, like, personal values versus, like, the greater values of society. Because there's so much going on here with regards to that stuff. Like, we have Tomoyo's conflict over, you know, whether to pursue her relationship with Tomoya as, like, her personal happiness, or to go and fulfill everyone's expectations of her and live a successful life and help society and people. Like, I guess the trees are sort of a way of personifying that sort of desire for her. Also with Tomoya, of course, he feels that conflict between pursuing Tomoya and just going Tomoyo. God, those two names are too similar. pursuing Tomoyo and putting himself first, like his own desires first, or letting go of her for her own good, her own perceived good anyway. There's always this pressure of society on to do the right thing, like, but is it the right thing? There's another complex added to all of it. I don't know.
This route's crazy, man. It's really, really well written, but it's so hard to, like, really put, because there's so many things that are really in this route. It's crazy.
The major thing I found was the society thing, you know, and how Tomoyo approaches society against Tomoya's approach. Like, I think that's where they really complete each other, because when you look at it, Tomoyo really has that sort of one-track mind where she focuses on what she decides is better for her. But Tomoya is actually pretty weak to, you know, how society views him.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
like when he goes to school at
some
point.
That is one of the big points.
When he goes to school at some point, he really says, I just want to go the other way because everyone is having fun and I'm alone. And, you know, he doesn't feel part of this world. But at the same time, he's really weak to the pressure it puts on him. And Tomoya kind of tells him, hey, let's pursue what we want. And I think that's also what she brings to him at the end.
I absolutely love their, what's the word? Words are hard.
Words are hard.
They're, I want to say synergy, but I'm going to say synergy, even though it's not the word that I want. their interactions is just, they're awesome. Because
they complement each other very well.
The way that they complement
dynamic?
Each other. There we
they're
go.
Dynamic?
Dynamic, yes. Oh, words.
I feel like Tomoyo is one of the characters who completes Tomoya best, you know. In all of the Clannad characters, she really comes off as good for him.
Yeah.
It's like, Tomoya is just living in this kind of apathetic way where he's just like, society is this way, this is how they view me, this is why they view me this way. And he's just like, fuck it. because I'm gonna do my thing or whatever and continue to think about whatever it is that I'm doing. He's definitely always living in the moment. Whereas Tomoyo is like, she doesn't give a fuck. She's just like a bull in a china shop. She just goes for whatever she wants, and it's incredibly naive of her, but she's just like, charging full steam ahead into almost everything.
Yep.
And it seems like she's really driven, as opposed to Tomoya. Tomoya's basically this guy, he's been in this situation for like 3 years, he thinks it's too late to change it anyway, and he has no motivation to get out of it, but Tomoya comes up, and she's like, hey, I'm gonna do this, and I think he's really sensitive to the way she approaches things, and that's what changes him.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, so much. Like, the fact that they're so similar, but, like, it's kind of their upbringings that are the only point of difference.
So, like, I think that even being with Tomoya doesn't help Tomoya grow as much as he could, because we see that even with a relationship with Tomoya, he still beats himself up over everything that's happening. He still thinks negatively about himself, and Tomoya doesn't really help with that. She doesn't realize that. So that even though they synergize really well, they're a good couple, they still have flaws in their relationship, which I think they didn't really cover by the end, and that's also another bad thing. Like,
Well, there was the whole whenever he actually breaks up with her and like he realizes that he actually loved her, or that he may have always already known that, like, I think it becomes clear to me that, like, Tomoya actually starts to see something really bright about living. Whereas before, everything was always so drab to him, like, he just kind of didn't care. Whenever he's with Tomoya, he, like, literally she is his motivation in a lot of ways.
Well, yes, I mean, she motivates him, but the thing is, like, they have problems. Well, the reason why they broke up is because they have problems in the relationship. And, like, even after they broke up, after they came together, they didn't really resolve those problems. So, like, in the long run, as I'm speaking, in the long run of someone having a relationship, that might be a problem if it happens again, you know? Like, the problem of Tomoyo not figuring out what's wrong with Tomoyo.
I'll bring up two things.
Yeah, but when she comes back at the end, I feel like, you know, she actually still, not directly, but kind of tells him that this kind of thinking, yes, she can stop it, you know, Tomoya, because it's okay. I think at the end, I get your point, but at the same time, you feel that she tells him that he can be okay with their situation, and he doesn't have to beat himself up over every single thing, because that's what she wants, you know, she wants to be together, and it's alright, and they can do just that.
Right.
That's
very Tomoya too, because
yeah, it's very Tomoya.
Like, very open about what she's thinking at all times.
Yeah, she almost explains what she's feeling that way.
This comes into a few things about perception and how we never really understand what each other are really thinking, and that's always something that's very off-putting. And in a relationship, you learn in a relationship that whoever you end up loving, it's not going to be about you having a perfect synergy. That's not really what it's all about. What it's about is how much can you deal with each other,
yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
Like, so it's
that's,
not
that's what
it's
I'm
not
trying to
the
say.
Things that it's not anything about being able to match each other, but more so it's about your good sides that you have with one another and your differences as well. And I think that they do actually share that pretty well.
Yeah. They complete each other pretty well at the end. There's a couple that work.
I really love this line that Tomoya spoke, that if I could completely understand what you're thinking, then I'd be a psychic or a counselor or something along those lines. Mm. It's just, it really rings home the idea that we are alone in our own minds, and we can't always be like the perfect relationship where we both understand each other. And I think what's really cool about this route is how it shows, like, the ugly side of relationships, almost.
But an important part of building that relationship is understanding that, right? And I think
understanding and communication.
Sometimes but I wish Tomoya was a bit
that's,
more communicated,
that's my
though.
That's my problem. I feel like they weren't able
so
to communicate those
let
problems.
Let me propose this to you, Pepe.
Yeah.
Let me propose this to you, Pepe. Do you think that there... I know that this goes to the true end and the good end. I know it's an important part of this, but let me ask you this. Do you think that their separation, that them breaking up, do you think that that was a good thing?
That's a very complicated thing to answer.
I know it is. But did you think that it was a good thing?
Okay, I think this was a good thing. I think it was a good thing in that it did help them grow, but I also believe they could have achieved that without breaking up.
Mm-hmm. That's the question a lot of people on the forum are debating. Could they have accomplished this without breaking up in the first place?
It's I'm sticking on that opinion.
I agree as well.
You think they could? What do you think, Biz?
Mixed. I think that their relationship can be perfectly fine with the complete removal of the student council existing. and that, I'll bring up another question here in a moment, too. As far as whether or not it would be possible for them to maintain a relationship that they wish to maintain and to complete the same goal that the student council and Tomoyo wish to complete, I would say no.
Okay.
I do not think that is possible. Not with the two of them, how they are. They would have to significantly change, and I don't think that that's really necessary. But I'll propose another question.
Okay.
And I know Tomoyo says very, very clearly that this is not just for her. It's not just for her.
Yes.
But let's talk about the Sakura trees.
Yes.
Do you think that her wanting to preserve those trees, was it selfish or selfless?
I think it's selfish or selfless doesn't change anything.
I think it's selfish.
I know that she directly said, "Oh, and it's for everyone else, not just me," but I think she was lying.
Like, the result is selfless, but like the action in itself, like the feelings behind it, it's very selfish.
I'm pretty sure that the reason she did that was to share that moment with Takafumi. I'm pretty sure that that's what it was for, almost entirely. She tacks on that it's for everyone at the very end of her explanation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know,
I don't think that's the feeling behind it. The driving feeling is selfish.
You can lie for her. You can lie to yourself about that kind of thing. Like, yeah, I'm doing it for other people as well. It's not just a selfish thing. Like, no one really thinks. Everyone likes to think that they're not completely selfish, you know. And like, so I feel like she's convinced herself that she is doing it for other people, but in the end, she just wants to make her little brother proud.
She's probably convinced herself because she has to.
Yeah, because I believe that saving those trees was very important to Tomoyo. Especially, I believe this because of what happens in the bad end. If you read the bad end, basically what happens is that she continues having a relationship with Tomoya, and she doesn't get into student council. And once Tomoya graduates, she stops school. She drops out of school, and she just lives with him. And I think that saving the Sakura trees is essentially a requirement for her to continue staying in school, because I believe that as long as she doesn't save those trees, that bad end will happen.
I would say my take on it is that because of how she lives her life up to this point, she never, ever, ever leaves anything incomplete, right? She refuses to drop out of something, correct? She won't leave it half-finished.
Okay.
That I think if she was to give in to that and give up her goal to save those trees, then it would be very toxic to her. And she would then kind of give in to this idea of, well, I can just leave things, and I don't have to finish these things. And so that would be her motivation to just drop out, because I don't have a reason for this anymore.
That makes sense. Yes. So in that sense, it is kind of selfish, even though she doesn't realize it herself.
Yeah, like she needs it herself to save those trees. She needs that sense of purpose and all. And if she loses it, she just ends up kind of.
Her only sense of purpose becomes Tomoya.
Right.
She needs that sense of that Tomoya lacks, you know, that sense of drive. And once she loses it, she goes wild. Especially because when you think about it, you know, the Sakura tree things is like very important to her family, and she says that her family is what keeps her from going wild. True. So at the end of the day, the Sakura trees, they almost kind of become a symbol of her family getting back together.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, interesting.
If they're not here, that, yeah, she loses all that and she breaks down and goes wild. Mm-hmm. That's the bad end, I think.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good...
And that is why I love this route.
it's definitely a very good, very deep route.
I don't think yeah. that a lot of what actually happens in this route and how it's actually written and presented is exactly what is going on, because you're in Tomoya's head, right? And such a huge theme about the route is our perceptions, and we're never going to actually understand someone else's intent, right? We don't know how heavily something hits them, and we don't know how heavily something motivates them, right? So we don't actually know how severely, it's just impossible to understand how severely something is actually motivating Tomoyo, right? So one of the first feelings that I actually had early on in this route, whenever she starts actually talking to Tomoya and Sunohara, is her goal, and when you see her in the Masai route, like, her goal here is that she wants to do this magical, this super cool attendance thing, right?
Yeah.
How did everyone... you do the 1 week of perfect attendance? So, her talking to Tomoya and Sunohara, like, it felt like she was just trying to meet her own ends with being with them to begin with, right?
To begin with, yeah.
She did genuinely have fun, and I feel like she learned that. But from my point of view, it was almost like she was using them.
Wow.
She wanted to use them as an example that she could change students, and she could make them attend, and that's what she did.
Well, maybe she's too pure for that still. I don't know. That sounds not Tomoyo-like.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting thing to say. Like,
I feel like it wasn't Tomoya.
Because she seems very comfortable with Tomoya. Like, if it was just Sunohara, I don't think she would do it for just Sunohara.
I think she... Yes. Well, like I said, I feel like she learned. She definitely learned that... She immediately learned, you know, hey, they're not that bad. Maybe not so much Sunohara, but at least with Tomoya, she learned, hey, he's not a bad guy, right? And she did genuinely start having fun with them because they're fun to be around. But I don't think that there wasn't just a motivation there to begin with that was to try to get these two famous students that are just world-renowned for their not showing up on time and just getting on by, that she just had to jump in.
At the same time, she insists a lot on, you know, not being bothered by rumors and all that stuff, so...
I have to interject here, because she made friends with them before she found out they were, like, skipping classes. Tomoya especially.
Yeah.
She always says, hey, we don't have to be bothered that there are rumors going around. And, like, at some point, she even talks to Tomoya in front of friends and says, like, hey, I don't mind. Well, Tomoya's like, please make this end. I don't think she has that sort of motive behind her.
Mm-hmm.
I think she sounds pretty straightforward about things.
I think she just sees two people, especially in Tomoya. She sees someone that's, like, similar to her, and she wants to kind of raise him up to her level. Like, you're going to be a prim and proper student, like me, you know? But it's not so much just manipulating Tomoya as is she likes Tomoya and wants to...
It's not deceitful, it's genuine. Yeah. It is genuine.
It's probably more straightforward than that. Like, it's, I like you, so I'm gonna make you better.
Yeah.
It's the feeling of wanting the best for that person.
That sounds like the most... That sounds like the most logical explanation.
Tomoya thing ever.
That's the most Tomoya thing.
Yeah. All right, I guess before we move on, we should quickly touch on Masai and how she ended up coming into this route, and she got her own light orb scene. Basically, I don't know, it didn't add a lot. I don't know why they put it in this route, apart from the fact that it's at the Founders Festival. But, you know, communicating that, you know, the cat was with her all along, that she was with her all along, I guess, would have done a lot to soothe her heart.
I just want to compare. I have a big theory about this light orbs, but I just want to compare that at the end of Messiah route, where she does end up with Tomoya and she doesn't realize that the cat is Shima, she doesn't get her light orb. So that instance that she does is when she gets her light orb, and I think that is important in understanding why. I won't say why yet, but anyway.
Yes, definitely. it's also very interesting that Tomoya happened to have memories from a different timeline.
I don't think it's memories from a different timeline. I think the moment that he went and found that cat, the cat that telepathically connected to him the same way he did in Messiah Ralph. Maybe it's the cat. It's the cat that can transcend timelines, you know? The cat knows that, hey, this guy is cool for Messiah, so in this alternate timeline, I'm going to give him this info. I don't know. It's very
complicated. I'm going to have to reread it. In that instance, he just understood enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to reread it, but you might be right.
I would say the weird thing there is, the real question I would have is, why him? Why is no one else listening to the cat talk? Why is it just him?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because he likes how Messiah's futon smells? I don't know.
Yeah. So, show of hands, who else wanted to punch the guy who talks to Tamoya a couple times?
About Tamoya? Yeah, I guess I want to punch him, but I can't disagree with him, you know? It's that kind of thing. I think that's exactly how Tamoya felt. He wanted to punch him, but he couldn't disagree.
Yeah. So,
because at the end he says the truth.
This weird turn of events, where I guess in the root they couldn't think of, like, in writing of a better way to make this develop a little bit further and to move the story along. So they created this just perfect son of a bitch. Like, he just, this guy, oh my god, he says everything that needs to be said with a grand total of zero tact. Like, he just does not care about anything. And I wanted to punch him, but like Pepe said, you can't, because he's right.
I know.
He becomes like this vessel of telling Tamoya how it is. And he's telling him how everyone is perceiving Tamoyo and what she can do, and how he is affecting that. And he finally becomes kind of this just no bullshit messenger of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because I don't know how to place this guy. Like, I can't tell what his own intent is. Because, like, he said stuff like, oh, I would be able to do it, and stuff like that, right? So, like, I couldn't tell if he, like, had the hots for Tamoyo or something. He's just weird. Very weird.
He probably doesn't.
He said he doesn't.
Yeah,
he said he doesn't. He has an interest in it.
He rejects it outright, but he says he doesn't, but you can't really feel that way, can you?
No.
Like, the way he puts things, you kind of end up feeling that he has the hots for Tamoyo.
It's very strange.
It's complicated. I think he himself is a very weird character.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, he doesn't really matter beyond speaking Tomoya's thoughts.
Yeah.
Because Tomoya is he's really actually aware, you know, of all that's going on, of how people see him, or how they see Tomoyo. But, like, it's this kind of case where, you know, you have those thoughts creeping up in you, but you can't really... They're not really triggered as long as someone else doesn't tell you.
It's like
the guy tells things.
That's what's so important about this guy, though, is like...
Little devil on his shoulder.
Directly after that is whenever Tamoya finally breaks up with Tamoyo, right? Like, this dude basically tells him, okay, you have to do this. And that's when Tamoya is able to be like, all right, I've got to do this. This is the only thing that I can do right now to try to make things go well for both of us.
He realizes that he has to do it, and he does it straight afterwards. He really is a trigger, that guy.
One line from him that I absolutely loved is that he was talking about Tomoyo, and he was saying how everyone views her as this perfect girl, but I see her flaws, and I want to bend her to become better. And I really like that, because this plays a lot into the great debate about Tomoyo being a Mary Sue. Because the characters in the game view her as the guy was saying, they view her as perfect. But he doesn't. He sees her flaws. And like Canon said, he on the forum, he doesn't like that the novel is trying to show her as this perfect character. So, well, I personally disagree, because I think the same way as the hill cunt.
He's the hill cunt.
I also see her flaws, and I think many of the other readers of this route see her flaws. No?
He's like, it's almost like he's breaking the wall.
Like, in a way, yes.
Trying to pull people away from those perceptions and how the root
He's basically talking to the reader as
face.
Well.
Like, he's like, yeah, he's definitely talking to the reader. It's like he's taking the root, telling you don't take the root at face value. Like, think a little bit deeper about what's going on about these relationships because, you know, hey, a girl's heart's pretty complicated. So it's pretty intense.
So the question that obviously gets debated from this on the root is Tomoe perfect? Is she a Mary Sue or not?
And definitely.
People have to argue first on what the definition of a Mary Sue is, because I pasted this on the forum from TV Tropes that there is no definition of a Mary Sue.
Yeah, I've had this debate a few times. But Canon on the forum will vehemently defend that Tomoyo is a Mary Sue, and he hates her because of that.
I can understand Canon's hate. Like, I can see where he's coming from, and I can see which personality traits he hates. View. But I don't like to label her because of that hatred.
Mm-hmm. It definitely seems to me like, if you look at it a certain way, if you look at the evidence in a certain mindset, then you could probably make it out to be that, but I don't think that it is an actuality, and that you could view it differently. It's like, you know, hey, different strokes, different folks, you know what I mean? It just kind of comes out differently depending on how you actually view...
The way he put it was that the personality traits that Tomoyo has are something he views as big negatives, and he hates that everyone else treats them as huge positives. Like, the way she selfishly pursues her own goals and, like, doesn't care what anyone else thinks. Mm. Stuff like that.
There are people on the forum who view that as positive, I must say.
That's why... It definitely exists. But that's why I brought up the question earlier about whether the student council pursuit was a good thing or not, because one of the important parts of the actual ending is how, when they do get back together, Tomoyo says that it was basically like she just wasted 8 months of her life, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, she thinks that, but anyway.
Yeah, is that valid then? Do you think she wasted her time? Was that whole breakup pointless?
She saved the Sakura tree, so no.
Yeah, she didn't waste her time.
No. It wasn't a waste, but it brings up...
Does she feel that simply her time should have been better than it actually was?
There you go.
And that it wasn't supposed to turn out that way for her, and that's not the path she had set on. The path she had set on was saving the Sakura trees and being with Tomoya.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't say that she didn't technically just waste her time. But it's just she didn't fully accomplish her goal or something like that.
Maybe.
It's that she didn't particularly enjoy that time.
You know what I like? You know what my response to this is? Yeah. So it's so wonderful to be young. It is only 8 months, guys. And the fact that she managed to save the Sakura trees and get the guy of her dreams
within
a period of 8 months is still pretty fucking good. That's a pretty great outcome.
Still look at it in a certain perspective, though. Like, when I think about myself and how I've basically, you know, just done nothing but work for a year and not actually bring myself anywhere in particular, it kind of makes you think a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'd say that thing is, you know, simply her against her mentality. Like, she says, hey, I'm with Tomoya now, I want to stay that way, and I want to save the Sakura trees. That's her mindset, so to her, it's kind of failure, you know.
I'm going to go ahead and just flat out drop my, in one sentence, how I view the themes of this route. Like, I'll just squeeze it all into one little statement. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy.
I mean, like, but that's a thing. Like, they have their whole life ahead of them now. There's no telling where they're going to go. But the fact that they have each other at the end is very important.
And that's because it's still
makes it
a
worth
good
it
ending,
almost.
Right?
Yeah,
it's still a good ending. But that doesn't mean that you still lost time. Because yeah, okay, it's still a good ending because they are able to, you know, reconcile and come back and realize, because it's their relationship, right? Like, they're able to overcome this and then be stronger moving forward. But it's important to know, you know, hey, you gotta respect whenever you realize that things didn't go so good when they could have gone a lot better.
Wasn't it an interesting tone, though, that we reach the end of the route and it's like, you feel like it's a bad ending. Like, Tomoya is all alone and there's, like, nothing in the future for him. He's probably going to find a job soon, and Sunohara's already left, and it's like, it feels really sad. And then at the very end, when you think the credits are about to roll, we finally get Tomoya and the resolution comes about. It's like, it's all very, it's a very snappy ending, but it pulls you right back
into
that.
Very fairy-tale-esque.
Yeah.
I think the whole point of this ending,
because it's so fucking mundane.
I think the whole point of this ending was to help them realize like what exactly they wanted out of life. Like as we brought up the whole happiness versus goals thing, and because they're young, they probably don't realize what makes them happy. And at the end of the day, I mean, let's be real here. Most couples that break up don't get together anymore. They don't even talk to each other anymore after. But they were able to realize that relationship brought them, both of them, happiness, and that's the whole point of the route. Realizing that, hey, this is what makes me happy. I've done what
realizing
I need to do with my life.
Yes.
I've done my goal. I can now be happy.
Yeah.
Like, it's more, Tomoya is very unaware, even of her feelings. When he breaks up, he's not realizing that she just wants to be with him. He's kind of weak to what society says, and as a result, he kind of ends up overlooking all, you know, what makes him happy. But Tomoya, and that's why they also, like we said, they complete each other, because she realizes what she wants. She's very sure about this thing.
What them ending up getting back together after something so tremendous as that, I think, is like forming a really strong relationship. And you can definitely see with this ending why a lot of people just had this longing for, man, I want more of this. Like, what's next? And that's why that's why they got it.
That's why they have Tomoya After.
Look forward to the Tomoya After book club.
Yeah, I definitely feel like Tomoya After, from what I understand of it, presents a very mature sort of relationship and sort
of progression.
Yeah, and if you
thought this route was savvy, then Tomoya After is going to rip your fucking head off.
So yeah, definitely, this is a very important route in that it sets up for a future vision novel that we'd like to read for the book club. It's going to happen. It's coming out on Steam, so it's just a matter of time. So you can definitely look forward to that one.
And going back about the Mary Sue thing, I feel like that just continues to, from my view, why I wouldn't say she's perfect, just because she does have quite a few flaws. And then there's the whole thing about how, oh, she's super cool, but just going and doing all that work isn't that cool. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I can see what you mean. Just all work and no play.
Yeah, it's just kind of awkward at times, too. Like, the way she treats Sunohara is like, it's not very, you know, if you're socially aware, you'd at least treat your boyfriend's best friend well. But she doesn't even care. She doesn't even care. So she's actually pretty awkward in a way, socially. I mean.
Yeah, and shoutouts to Sunohara. Sunohara was so good in this route.
Yeah, here's a bro.
He's really good in this route. Complete 180 from him and Kamen. Absolutely outstanding character in this route. I
good
love
job,
the scene whenever he comes into Sunohara's room and tells him, like, you know, oh yeah, she dumped me or whatever, and they broke up. And he basically just flat out tells him, you're a fucking idiot, like, to think she liked someone like you. He's like, why the fuck did you do that? And then he's like, oh, whatever. He's like, man, I really thought you guys could have gone on to do something. What a shame.
Yeah, and he's like, you really looked up to Tomoya, didn't you? He's like, yeah, I did. It's such a sincere moment from Sunohara after, like, that breakup happened. Quite a few sincere moments.
Yeah. He sincerely wanted them together, and that's very respectable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good friend in that route.
Shout out to the four members. Oh my god, you guys have done so good this route. Like, obviously, there's been a lot of debate and a little bit of arguing, but that's good. That's what we like on the forum. Like, it's very stagnant when people are disagreeing with each other. Just the fact that we could get so many awesome posts, that was way too many. Like, I think we reached around 90? 95 replies, wow. Not all
I'm disappointed, I want to see 100 replies in the Yukone route.
Is that up? That's up next, isn't
okay.
it?
Okay. Yeah, that's yeah, up next.
Yukone's up next. So I'd just like to make a special thanks to forum members, Carafeen, Gagla, Shake7, Takafumi, Kuketsugimiyu, Canon, Naoki Saturn, Helios Alpha, and of course our very own Pepe and Bizgito. You've all done amazing on this forum discussion. I'm super impressed, and I really hope we can keep this momentum going in for the future book club episodes. Next week, we're going on to the Yukone route, aka tea in the reference room.
Or coffee, whichever you prefer.
We hope you enjoy all the spells and charms and lap sitting in store for you. We'll see you next week, guys. Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Later.